Brilliance Audio offers the following excerpt from their production of Jericho Point, an Evan Delaney novel by Meg Gardner.
The bathroom smelled like ripe socks and mildew. My head throbbed and my eyes stung. He was sitting in the bathtub, head in his hands, dark hair falling over his face. He turned his face to the wall.
"Close the door. Don't let them see."
I shut the door behind me and shut my eyes, fighting the sting. But still, I saw him. His rangy frame, his handsome features, his blue eyes. Relief coursed through me. "God," I sank against the doorframe. It wasn't him. Of course it wasn't. How the hell could I have believed it? I felt ashamed for buying any bit of it. "Come on, I'll take you home," I said. He put up a hand, as if fending me off.
"I can't go out there."
"Why not?" I crouched next to the tub. "What's wrong?"
"You have to promise me."
"Are you in trouble?"
"Don't tell him."
"Who?" I said, though I knew.
"My brother. He'll go ballistic. Promise you won't tell Jesse."
I put my hand on his arm. "PJ?" His eyes met mine for an instant before he looked away again. Relief drained from me as fast as if someone had pulled a plug. I had seen that look in his eyes before, years ago, on that awful day. He slumped back in the tub. "Something's wrong. Tell me," I said.
"Oh, fuck."
He started banging his head against the tiles.
"She went off the balcony."
Bang, bang, again and again.
"Over the edge, all the way down into the waves."
I grabbed him. "Did you call 911? He scrabbled for the faucets, but I tipped him over the edge of the tub and hauled him up. His shoulders crunched. I yanked open the door and shoved him out into the hall, pulling out my cell phone. "Did you tell anybody?" He shook his head. I urged him into the living room, jostling through the throng, and into the kitchen. Half a dozen girls stood gabbing, running a batch of margaritas through the blender. PJ kept his head down, as though he were a dog being punished. I opened the sliding glass door to the balcony and pushed him outside. The wind drove nails of rain against my face. I dialed 911. The balcony ran the width of the house. Beyond the railing, 40 feet below, the surf pounded the cliff. It was a huge, roaring tide. The light from the kitchen petered out, but I could see that further along the balcony a bedroom door was open, the drapes billowing out. The dispatcher came on the line.
911 emergency.
I need a rescue. There's been an accident at a house on Del Playa. PJ blinked.
No, you promised you wouldn't tell.
Before I knew what was happening, he grabbed the phone from my ear and stumbled back toward the kitchen door, mashing buttons.
You promised,
he said. Damn it. I grabbed his hand and pried at his fingers, but he clenched the phone to his ribs. We have to get search and rescue out here, now. His chest heaved.
No, we don't.
Yes, now. The rain was flattening his hair against his head in stringy tails.
We don't need search and rescue. I think I'm wrong. It didn't really happen.
Shit. Don't give me that. He stared into the storm.
I think I just freaked out.
Truth. Right now. Did a girl fall off this balcony or not?
I don't know.
Planting both hands against his chest, I pushed him back inside the kitchen, where I could get a good look at his eyes in the light. He didn't resist, just shivered and stared out the door at the ocean. I backed him against the counter. The margarita girls said, "Hey, what?" I wiped rain from my face. "Look at me." His gaze tagged me and jumped away again. His pupils were the size of fleas. "What did you take?" A shrug. "Coke? Speed?" The girls grabbed the blender and left the kitchen. PJ didn't respond. I put my hands on his cheeks and held his face. "How much, PJ?" His skin felt hot, the rainwater warm against my palms. He wasn't as tall as Jesse, didn't have his shoulders, but otherwise the resemblance gave me a punch at the thought of everything that separated the two of them. I shook his face between my hands.
"Some E," he said. "Maybe a few lines."
Exhaling, I let my hands drop. "What happened here? Tell me." He stared out the door again.
"I don't know. Me and some guys were here in the kitchen. People were everywhere. I couldn't get a clear look."
"What did you see?"
"Something out on the balcony, like voices. But it was so loud, the music. And that sliding glass door was shut, and the lights here were reflecting. The Rain. On the glass, it looks so bright.
His knee began jittering. I don't know. It just scared me. He was wired to the ends of his hair, bouncing toward hysteria, and I still didn't know if he'd hallucinated it or not. He was shaking. It was freaky. So freaky. I looked around the kitchen. The phone had been torn out of the wall, leaving a gaping hole. Written in marker beneath it was, "No more coffee for Alex." "Give me my cell phone, PJ." He clutched it like a precious toy.
"You won't call?"
"No." Slowly, he extended it to me. I closed my fingers around it, waiting. It rang. I answered, "Here." A woman fell off the balcony. It was the emergency dispatcher calling back. I gave her the address. The last I saw, PJ was running through the crowd toward the front door.
Narrator Tanya Ibi Sirwa brilliantly captures the nightmare of being accused of a crime you didn't commit in Jericho Point, presented unabridged by Brilliance Audio in 10 hours.